So I want to tell you about off-shell mirror symmetry. So just from the beginning, off-shell mirror symmetry is, so this is going to be about extending techniques and some structure from the closed string mirror symmetry to include open string mirror symmetry. So it's going to be concerned with, in particular, computing superpotentials of deep brains, which are not at their on-shell or critical values. This is why it's called off-shell mirror symmetry. So here's the plan of the talk. I'm going to spend most of the time actually reviewing the structures of closed string mirror symmetry. And then in the other part of the talk, I'm going to tell you how some of these structures extend to also describe deeper mirror symmetry. So in particular, I'm going to focus on what the superconformal field theory origin of mirror symmetry is. OK, well, to start off with a short motivation from field theories. Well, we understand the field theories very well when it comes to perturbative methods. So usually we describe field theories around some small value of coupling. But all the perturbative methods we had usually do not help us understand the same theory and some strong coupling. So the non-perturbative techniques are quite challenging. Also in field theory, we kind of usually work with fixing some background and then considering perturbations around that. So to start applying field theory techniques, we usually have to set some values of parameters, some values of background values, and then we perturb around them. So what we want to ideally have is some notion of space of all possible backgrounds and study theories within the space of all possible backgrounds of a theory, and for the rest of the talk I'll be referring to the formations. Well, ideally the space of backgrounds is going to have some geometrical meaning. So ideally we'll have some geometrical meaning for the space of couplings of some theory. And we know that this is possible since the work of Seibert. And so this work led to much excitement in the mathematics and in the physics, because on both sides, the geometric meaning could help to. So on one hand, you can use physical dualities to understand relations between mathematical structures, and then you can use your mathematical understanding to describe field theoretic quantities independent of their background. So this is how I want to motivate mirror symmetry as kind of the bigger framework where you kind of start addressing systematically these questions. So mirror symmetry is going to have two sides, A and B, and it's an equivalence of families of theories, where the word family precisely describes that we're not only describing theories, but we're describing theories together with the whole deformation spaces or multi-life spaces. And the matching of the two sides is actually between the theories and their deformations. Okay, so, well, as I will be telling you, these two sides have the same or some simple origin, but they translate into quite different mathematics. So the mathematics that will be concerned on the two sides is, on one hand, on the A side, the symplectic geometry, on the other hand, the complex geometry. And as I said, we'll be considering variations of the theory within the deformation space. And this is going to lead us to consider variation of patch structures versus quantum cohomology. I'll be giving you a flavor of what these notions here mean. On the physics side, why mirror symmetry is interesting, because the A side contains quantum corrections. So in particular, it contains all non-perturbative effects. While the B side is just concerned with computing classical quantities. So here's what we want to do. We want to use mirror symmetry to calculate simple things using its, their mathematical translation, and then translate via mirror symmetry to the harder mathematics, and then come back to the physics and get fully quantum corrected quantities which were otherwise hard, if not impossible to do. So, and why mirror symmetry for D-brains? So far, many techniques exist for describing mirror symmetry of closed strings. But in particular, from a physical motivation, we want to understand deep brains. And we want to have the same techniques that allow us to calculate some classical quantities on one side and have the full non-perturbative superpotentials and information on the other side. Also, from a formal point of view, it's interesting to understand deep brains because we want to understand what is the origin of mirror symmetry, what is the full story behind mirror symmetry. And the fanciest mathematical way of putting mirror symmetry is an equivalence of categories. And you should think of these objects as containing all the closed string mirror symmetry together with all the sets of D-brains on both sides. There's also the Stroman-Jayal Tesla conjecture, which relates mirror symmetry to T-duality. To understand this, you have to understand mirror symmetry for D-brains. Okay, so I'll start by recalling some conformal field theory notions and what mirror symmetry, how it works in the closed string case. So recall that n equals 2 superconformal algebra has four currents. So there is the energy momentum tensor, the energy momentum current, two copies of supersymmetry, and the U1 current. And these plus and minus of the two different supersymmetries are with respect to this U1 current. For the supersymmetry currents, you have to impose some boundary conditions, and there is a continuous parameter between 0 and 1 interpolating between different boundary conditions. So in particular, you have the Nibbler-Schwarz and the Ramon sector, which lead to isomorphic algebras. So this is why in the following, I will use interchangeably Ramon sector and Nibbler-Schwarz sector. So that's so what do you do with the currents? You can expand the currents in terms of their modes. And then you can define the highest weight states of the theory, which are going to be annihilated by all the positive modes. And you can use the zero mode eigenvalue of the energy momentum and of the U1 to label states by their conformal weight and by their charge. And as usual in conformal field theories, states are created by fields or by operators. Okay. So now to get to mirror symmetry, we're going to consider a subset of these highest weight states. So highest weight states were annihilated by all the positive modes. So let's consider the states that are, in addition to all the positive modes, annihilated by the supersymmetry modes, the first one, which is non-negative. So you can also state this as being annihilated by the J0 in the Ramon sector. So, and these who are going to be annihilated by the first non-positive mode of the G plus current are going to be called chiral states versus anti-chiral states if the sign is changed. So what's so interesting about the chiral and anti-chiral states? Well, they satisfy, you can derive from the algebra, they satisfy some charge bound. So for general states, the conformal weight will be larger or equal than half of the charge. And for these chiral states, it will be satisfied. So you should keep this in mind as some sort of a BPS condition. Also, the chiral states are created by the chiral primary operator. So apart from the BPS bound, what's also interesting about these chiral states? Well, you can also derive from the algebra, well, for the case of interest for us, that they satisfy some charge bound. So there are finitely many of them in the superconformal algebra. Okay, that's good news. So we have some finite subset, which in addition satisfies or carries a ring structure. So if you take the operator product expansion of two chiral states, respectively anti-chiral states, they will close on the chiral states. And these coefficients are going to be non-singular. Okay. So to come from here to describing string theory, you need two copies of the algebra. So you have the left moving and the right moving n equals 2 algebra. So in total, the possible finite subsets of states which have a ring structure are going to be four combinations. So whether in the left and right moving sector you take different combinations or you take the same combinations. And here A and B are anticipating the two sides of the mirror symmetry.
I have a question.
Yes.
The first inequality is the central charge, right? So you're specializing.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the bound is on the central charge, so it's C equals 9. And I know that for the chiral states, the bound is. That's already the final.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were just specializing to.
Yeah, so that's really for the case of interest. Okay, so I've told you a lot about we want to study theories within the information space. And that's another interesting about these chiral states, because they also carry the information about the deformations of the theory. So we know in these conformal field theories that the deformations are generated by charge 1-1 chiral operators. So from the charge 1-1 operators, you can construct, using the algebra, some so-called two-form descendants, which you can add to, so here's just schematically, you can add these to the action to deform it. So you know how to deform the theory. And then you can consider these parameters, Ti, actually as being coordinates on the space of possible fields. So here we are. This is what we wanted to have. We wanted to have a theory and describe it together with all the possible deformations. So at different points in the space, we'll have different theories, but they are related by these deformations. Okay, so now I've told you that there is a subset of these highest weight states which have the ring structure, and they're particularly interesting because they carry information about the deformation, and there are finitely many, and so on and so on. So we want to restrict our attention to just these states and just forget about the rest. We do this using topological string theory. So just if you remember, to restrict to the anti-chiral states or chiral states, so the unbarred quantities are, for example, the left moving sector and this is the right moving sector. And to restrict to this combination, you would have used these operators. So just promote these restriction operators to be some DRST operators. And then consider the theory, just consider physical states as these states which are annihilated by these DRST operators. Well, here's the problem. These are charges of supersymmetric currents. So in particular, they have spinner character. So the currents have conformal weights we have. And this is, so eventually you want to describe the string theory, so summing over all possible two-dimensional Riemann surfaces. And to have a global definition of these operators, you need to change the spin. So ideally you want to have here scalars. Well, the spin is given by, in the algebra, by the commutator of the energy momentum tensor with these guys. So just change what you mean by the energy momentum tensor in a way that this combination or this combination becomes a scalar. And this is what is called twisting the theory. Okay, now I've told you, so we have twisted the theory, we have these guys which we can define on all Riemann surfaces. And to do string theory, we need to sum over all Riemann surfaces. And the full partition function of topological string theory is given by, well, some measures you associate to every Riemann surface of genus G and H boundary components. And all of these are evaluated in dependence of the background. So this is what we want to have. This is the things we want to study. Okay, so to tell you that these free energies are also of physical interest, well, these FGHs here also appear in physical string theory in some F terms in the space-time description. So these terms will include the gravity-photon field strength and some Viagino fields. And just to give you an idea that these guys are pretty familiar, or some of these are very familiar to you, well, the F0 of the topological string is the prepotential. So in type 2B complexifications, you want to study this. From the prepotential, you can compute the Yukawa couplings, and other genus zero data will give you also the Kähler potential. So the topological string partition function, or free energy, at genus zero with one boundary component, which is called this partition function, gives you the world volume superpotential of the theory. Okay. Then there is also the gauge kinetic function, which is the annulus amplitude. So these are just some examples to tell you that these guys are actually what you want to compute also in a full physical theory. Okay, so far I've talked about the algebra and what kind of finite rings you have in there. Now let's look at the translation of this algebra into some concrete model. So we can realize these superconformal field theories geometrically just taking scalars and fermions and realizing the supersymmetry, and this will lead you to the nonlinear sigma models. So what do these chiral ring states correspond to in the concrete geometric realization? Well, on the A model side, the charges of the superconformal field theory translate into degrees of forms. And on both sides, you'll actually have these finite rings will be given by the Dolbeau homology, except for the fact that the charges translate differently on both sides to the degrees of forms. Okay, so why is this interesting? Remember I told you that the deformations of the theory are given by the charge 1-1 operators. So in particular deformations on this side, the charges translate into H11, which carries the Kähler class. And on the other side, the deformations translate into H21, which carries information about deformations of complex structure. So, just to give you the picture, So we have two sites realized geometrically. So realized geometrically means the scalar fields will span some target space manifold. And we know that on the A side, the deformations are given by Kähler deformations. And how you measure these deformations physically is by taking the Kähler form and integrating it over two cycles. So you can roughly think of the changes on this side as changes in two cycle sizes. Okay, on the B model side, the deformations are the complex structure deformations. And how are you going to measure them? So you measure them by taking the unique holomorphic 3-0 form, which you have in Calabi-Yau threefold, and integrate it over three cycles. And you know here that considering a holomorphic 3-0 form at some point in the complex structure moduli space, if you vary that, if you go to some other complex structure, it will no longer be a 3-0 form. So these guys are good quantities to measure this variation. And the statement of barysymmetry is actually taking some smart way of measuring this deformation. You can match the T of Z, so this volume, you can match it with these volumes. And, okay, so what I didn't tell you here, so barysymmetry typically, or the deformation spaces are separated in different regions, which are the phases of the theory. And what you want to do is really do this matching of the volumes of three cycles with the volumes of two cycles everywhere in moduli space. So we want to do the matching between different corresponding points here. So how are we going to tackle this problem? So how to find this special combination which is going to match with here? Well, let's look at another subset of these chiral ring states, which are going to be the span of the deformations. So the deformations were the U1 charge 1-1 operators, and all the chiral ring states had this ring structure. And we want to just consider all the states that are spanned, or that we need to consider in order for this ring to close on the deformations. So in particular here, you will have two charge 1-1 operators, which tells you have to include all the charge 2-2 operators too. And then you'll have the ground state of the theory corresponds to some identity operator, and you'll have a charge 3-3 operator, which you need to include. So in total, the states you want to focus on are the deformations together with their duals with respect to what is called topological metric, the ground state and its dual. So in total, this is the thing you want to study, its variation over the moduli space of theories. And so you want to study this, and you have the additional ring structure, and we are going to see how this translates into a well-defined problem of how to find the mirror bars. Okay, so here I've just given, so this is called the bundle of ground states, and here is the translation in terms of what it does over the moduli space. So these are the deformations, so you can identify these with being in the tangent space of the moduli space. Everything is defined up to a scale, so this is why everything is a section in a line bundle. And these two guys are dual to these with respect to this topological metric. Okay, so this is again on the level of the very abstract. Let's look at what is the translation of this bundle of ground state, and how does it vary in both sides. So now we want to look at what is the geometric meaning of this variation. Well. First, recall that taking these E0, so this is a 0-0 charge state, charge 1-1, charge 2-2, charge 3-3. And just I'm reminding you how the chiral ring would look on these states. So this has charge 1-1. So in total, it will just map every guy to the next one because the charges add, which gives you this, if you put it in a matrix form, this upper triangular matrix. So this is just telling you the chiral ring relations, and everyone is mapped to the next one. Okay, remember that we added the deformations to the action of the theory with some parameters. So you can actually think of this insertion of a deformation as being given by taking a derivative. So here we've got the, so this is the first geometric translation. On the level of correlation functions, you can think of this insertion as taking a derivative, and think of this whole matrix as giving some connection on this bundle of ground states. So, and this connection is flat, and so it has vanishing curvature. And this is our first encounter of what is called Grassmannian connection. So the goal is now to translate all these ingredients into geometry and recover this geometrical meaning. So this is kind of what we're going to do in biosymmetry. So any questions so far? Okay, so mirror symmetry has the two sides. I will start with the not-so-transparent side, that's the A model side. So the bundle of ground state, remember the charge form translation, is given by the even cohomology of the target space. And on this even cohomology, you have to define something which will map every guy to the next one. Okay, so here's just the way that it can be defined. So you take a 0 form, a 2 form, a 4 form, and a 6 form, and you just define this DA of taking one guy to the next one with this particular combination CIJK of the chiral ring. Now the tricky part is, what is the CIJK given in terms of what is going on here? Well, this, as I said, this is the hard part. The CIJK is consisting of a classical part. So this is just taking the wedge product of three 2 forms. And this is going to give you classical intersection numbers, which you can compute for your target space. And here's the tricky part. Actually, to match with the conformal field theory, you have to include a whole power of quantum corrections. So this took mathematicians quite a while to well define what this is. And these are called Gromov-Witten invariants. So this tells you that superconformal field theory, or string theory, tells geometry that it has to be modified to include all the quantum corrections. OK, so this is the side we're not going to look at. It turns out the B model side is much easier. And probably most of you have seen how this goes in one way or another. So the charge form degree translation will give you on the B model side this bundle of ground state is given by the middle cohomology. So it's in total, the bundle of ground state is going to see H3. And the charge decomposition is going to give you the Potch decomposition of H3. So in H3 0, H2 1, H1 2, H0 3. And you've probably seen what this, so this DB is going to take one guy and map it to the next one. And you've probably seen what this DB is. This is just the covariant derivative with respect to a Kähler metric. And the Kähler metric is given by this classical integral. And also the CIJK, no need for quantum corrections. This is just a classical quantity. It's just something you can compute out of the data you have. OK, so you can do, with all these ingredients, you can easily compute that if you start with a 3-0 form and keep acting with a covariant derivative on it, it will exactly reproduce the pattern which has this upper triangular form. Okay? So this pattern of varying, or taking derivatives four times in a row, you can put it as a fourth order differential equation. So this is our first encounter of what is called the Picard-Fuchs equation. So here's the power of the B model side. You can translate, you can, in a well-defined manner, you can translate what it means to take, to track the variation of some states of the theory, because you can easily track the complex structure variations over the moduli space of complex structure. You can get equations, and you can solve equations, and yeah. Well, that's not the whole story. I told you that there's a particular combination. Yes? Ah, sorry. I told you there's a particular combination you have to find in order to be able to match to the A model. So this is not the way you want to write equations. So all these covariant derivatives contain holomorphic, non-holomorphic pieces. And just to tell you, this is actually an instance of what is called TT star structure. So this has just just reflects the fact that the dual states with respect to the topological metric in this concrete realization become the complex conjugates one. So we had H30 and the complex conjugate is H03 and so on. So what we want to have for doing computations is just holomorphic equations and holomorphic solutions and see how far we get with that. So that's a different story of how to see this, what is called the Hodge variation. Okay, so just start with a polymorphic 3-0 form, and instead of taking covariant derivative, just take, well, you can think of this variation as just taking partial derivatives. So the effect of this is going to be that not only you'll be mapped to the next guy, but you'll keep on, you'll have some reminiscent 3-0 map. And if you keep on doing this, you will get in bigger and bigger spaces until you're in the total space. And what this is called is the filtration. So this is the Hodge filtration, and this varies holomorphically because you just take holomorphic derivatives of the holomorphic 3-0. Okay. So here's pictorially how this goes. You take from the smallest filtration space, the 3-0 form, you vary until you end up in the whole space. And you know that there are only four possible variations. If you keep varying this one, you'll end up with the linear combinations of the rest of what you had before. Well, this linear combination of what you had before when you vary too much translates into a differential equation, which is the Pierre-Fuchs equation. And in this case, it will be an holomorphic equation. So just to give you some idea of how this looks like. So target spaces are usually given in terms of vanishing locus of some polynomial. So here, for example, for the mirror of the quintic. And the complex structure deformations are given by deformations of this defining polynomial. So here, think of these AI as different AIs give you different complex structures. And there's a way of how to define, given a certain space, how to define what is the holomorphic 3-0 form in terms of some residue integral. So we can start with this and then try to vary the complex structure. Actually, in many cases, you have toric geometry at your disposal. So from this, this is an equation given in a total toric space, and there are lots of rescalings involved. So we can directly read off what the equations are for this holomorphic 3-0 form by using the rescalings. And you'll furthermore find out that these are way too many parameters for the complex structure. For the case of the mirror quintic, it's actually only one combination of these, which is a true deformation. So from these rescalings, you can read off the equation directly. You don't need to do the variation. So the equation for the case of the quintic, just to give you an idea of how this works, is a fourth order differential equation. It's holomorphic. So in terms of thetas, which are these logarithmic derivatives. Okay. So now we have an equation which describes the variation of Hodge structure holomorphically. Now let's look at this variation also reflects what I've introduced before, this chiral ring structure. Well, you can write the fourth order equation in terms of a first order equation, again for this lecture. And so every guy is mapped to the next one, but in the last step, so just read up from this equation that the fourth order derivative of this omega is given by a linear combination of those. So this is not the form we wanted to have. We want to have something upper triangular, where here are the CIJKs. Okay, but this is the way we can track it. So we could really write down the holomorphic 3-0 form and immediately write down the Pierre-Fuchs equation. So now the goal is to go from here to the form we want to have. And so you can think of this as taking derivative and this connection part, but the connection part is not of the form we wanted to have. So roughly speaking, we wanted to have something with a C, which is just upper triangular, and all the rest you can interpret as another connection. So this is why we're saying we want to have flat coordinates, because we want to have coordinates where just take a partial derivative and have the upper triangular form, and this guy here vanishes. So you can easily find these by making a nonsatz. So this is just telling you, well, you're considering this variation problem in the wrong coordinates. But there are some coordinates, T of Z, which will again give you this connection in the right formulas. So you can just make an ansatz of how to change coordinates and how to consider this variation problem in terms of these other coordinates, and then solve the equations and find out what this T of Z is and what this C is. And by doing that, you will have reached the form, which comes back to the C of T form, which is what you want to have the A of it. Okay, now special geometry tells you more. So you can take this null variation in the right coordinates, and you can integrate it over all the three cycles you have. And what special geometry tells you is you could as well just take this V0 form, integrate it over all the three cycles, and this will also give you some representation of these various things that are in the bundle of bound states. And in terms of the right coordinates, the Picard-Fuchs equation becomes again simple, just reflecting this. Okay, so now we have the form which matches with the CFT. And Meyer-symmetry tells us, okay, this is the form which is the A model. So now we have calculated everything in terms of T of some Z, and Z was some arbitrary random complex structure coordinate, and we found the right coordinate. Meyer-symmetry tells you the right coordinate is on the A model side, the volume of two samples. Moreover, this first row of this period matrix is going to give you, you can normalize it such that it gives you the volume of two cycles, the volume of four cycles, and the volume of six cycles, where the volume of four cycles and of six cycles are going to include all quantum corrections. So this is not going to be roughly just like t squared, but it's going to be t squared plus corrections e to the minus t. And all these corrections you automatically get just by considering the variation problem in the right form, or in the form you want to have. So here's an example for the quintic. So just from the B model side, you bring it to a certain form, and you get all the infinite corrections. You get exact quantities. So that wraps up the closed string story. Any questions so far? Because now I'm going to tell you how some of these techniques and some of these ideas extend to describe some deep ends. Okay, so this leads us to open Meyer symmetry. Well, it's a very full slide, and just recall some facts about deep ends in topological string A model and B model. So in the A model, deep ends wrap special Lagrangian cycles. So these are half dimensionals in the target space, and the Kähler form vanishes on them. There's some additional constraint. Okay, so now let's place the part. So what we want to have now is on the B model side, B rents are going to be wrapped by holomorphic cycles. So the problem we want to consider now is how does the target space, as before for the closed string, vary, but also how do these subspaces vary within the target space? So I can vary them separately, or they also vary with the target space. So what are the mirror symmetry coordinates I need to consider for doing this? Well, the flat coordinate, or what's the mirror symmetry coordinate on the A model side, is measuring disk sizes. So disks that are attached to this Lagrangian cycles, and just the size of the disk will give me some information of how the Lagrangian works. On the other hand, the superpotential on the B side is given, so this is the world volume superpotential, is given by a holomorphic transiemens action. And for example, for five brains, this reduces again to an integral over of the 3-0 form, but not over cycles like in the closed string case, but over chains. So we want to describe five brains that have two cycles, and these three chains are such that they end on the two cycles. So this is some, these are the kinds of quantities we'll have on the B model side. Okay? And also, like in the closed string case, there are some strong integrality prediction for the expansions in terms of these coordinates. Particularly, these guys here are called Ogori-Bafa invariants, and these are integers. So it's quite strong prediction. Okay, so the first instance of calculating actually B model, A model, and calculating these Ogori-Bafa invariants were done by Aganagic and Bafa for non-compact, so local Calabi-Yau is non-compact Calabi-Yau, where the whole computation reduces to some computations on a Riemann surface, and everything can be seen nicely. Okay, so how to connect to what I've been telling you before? Well, just the picture. Closed string sees two cycles, open string sees disks, which end on the Lagrangian. And on the B model, closed string sees three cycles in a particular combination. You can match it. And the open string will see three chains. So these are two cycles, which you consider its variation in the time space. Okay, so after the work of Raghunathan and Rafa, there was a series of papers by Meyerleff and Warner, where they put forward what is the complex structure variation problem which underlies this open string Meyer symmetry. So the key observation is, well, to describe superpotentials in topological string theory, you have two kinds of superpotentials for canonical threefolds. One is the flux superpotential, and this is just given by the closed string data. So this you already have. The other one is the grain superpotential, and as I told you, you'll have to consider three chains, so things that end on lower dimensional centers. So you can consider the combination if you extend. So instead of considering variations of cycles, you consider the variation of relative cycles. So this precisely encodes three cycles and three chains, which end on two cycles. And well, the dual thing to this is relative cohomology. So relative cohomology, I will tell you more about this in a few slides. It's just keeping track of exact pieces of this 3-0 form, because obviously the exact pieces will play a role. In the closed string case, they didn't play a role because we're integrating forms over cycles. Now we're integrating forms over things that see boundaries, so also two form parts or exact parts will play a role. And they found that the variation of this relative cohomology again leads to some sort of differential equation, which you can solve, and you can identify the mirror symmetry ingredients which were put forward by Maffa and Aganaji. Okay, well, last year there has been a paper by Hans Jokas and Masoud Soroj extending, well, based on some ideas of Lechtenmeier and Warner, extending this approach also to consider compact Calabiau. So in topological string theory, non-compact Calabiau is a lot easier than compact Calabiau because you can connect it to very different areas. And well, in the two papers I'm presenting here, we kind of generalized this whole thing and found the Peter-Fuchs equations everywhere in modular space. So,
why are you restricting yourself to defined
forms? I'm going to come to this. So actually, we're going to consider D7 brains to capture the part of defined brains we want to understand. So, the way this was put forward, or the variation problem I'm going to describe, doesn't generate superpotentials for D7 brains. It only generates a superpotential if you turn on flux, and then it's equivalent to a defined brain superpotential. So, why defined brains? So the reason here. So the obvious reason is because you get, again, integrals of the holomorphic 3-0 form of the because you want to consider variations of two cycles. Okay, so here's kind of the general idea. So we want to describe families of defined brains. So defined brains wrapping two cycles, and we want to consider how the two cycles will start changing, become non-holomorphic two cycles, and hence generate a superpotential. Okay, what Lechtenmeier and Warner proposed is to study, so because the study of non-holomorphic variation of two cycles is not transparent or difficult, you can study variation of four cycles, or of a hypersurface, or a divisor, complex surface, name it whatever you want, which contain as a part these two cycles. In some specific locus, the variation of this hypersurface will be at the point where the two cycles in them are holomorphic, but otherwise the two cycles will become non-holomorphic. So this is their idea to capture the non-holomorphic variation of the two cycles. So by considering holomorphic variations of something bigger. And what this, so the open string modulus is capturing how you embed this four cycle or this complex surface into the total target space. So there is some tuning of this embedding, which gives you the open string modulus. Okay, so the physical equivalent of this, considering variation of a complex surface, is actually considering or describing these seven planes. But as I will tell you, the variation, so this is a holomorphic variation, so this will not generate a superpotential. And then you can consider flux on the world volume of the seven planes, which is equivalent to choosing some two-cycle representative, which carries the charge of the different plane. So again, the relevant quantities are this omega, and now underlined to tell you that we want to keep track of the exact parts of this omega. So just a rough idea of how this works. So this relative cohomology business is just the way of how you book, or the way of bookkeeping the exact parts. So instead of only, so for example, a relative three form, just to give you an idea of how this works, we'll have the three form, so this is just as in the closed string, and then you'll have some two form representative, and in this part, so this is the bookkeeping part. You can define the differential on the relative forms. So and here comes in the bookkeeping part, because using this differential, you can define this equivalence relation. So again, in the closed structure, forms will be equivalent up to additions of exact forms, but exact forms of the closed part will be seen by this bookkeeping second part. So this I star is the pullback of this two-form part to this complex surface. So, and this is the new ingredient. And this also tells you about how the variation will work. So you will have the closed string complex structure variation just as it were. And in addition, you'll have some additional freedom of open string variation, but also this, so this bookkeeping part will see the open string. But also you will see variations of the closed string. So it's kind of a mixed problem. And well, the mixed problem is described by what is called variational mixed top structure. And here is just the schematic outcome of this structure. So in the first row, these are again these filtration things. You will start with some holomorphic V0 form. And the variation of mixed top structure, well, it's mathematically has also the property that you can split it into two different variations. So you will see again, just as before, the whole variation of the closed string. But in addition, you will see the variation of the bookkeeping, so the two-form parts, on this hypersurface or on this divisor. And this problem is actually a variation of Hodge structure on the surface. So you have a combined problem of variation of Hodge structure on the full thing and on the surface. And it's the study of the interplay of these two, which is making up open string mirror symmetry. Okay, so these variations, you can again just, similar methods to the closed string, you can derive Picard-Fuchs equations, and you can start solving them. And you can bring them by a choice of special coordinates to an upper triangular form. So there's many things, or most of the things, just go through like in the closed string. I'll just give you some ideas of what are the additional solutions, or what are the additional ingredients you get, which will be coming from this lower variation thing. So you have three additional quantities associated to the open string. And these are actually, well, the open string flat coordinate. This is what we want to have to match with the A model with the disk sizes. You'll have the superpotential, and you'll have some additional solution. Well, we're still lacking a physical interpretation for the additional solution. Well, then again, you can, the Gauss-Vanian connection will have two parts. So one part is the variation in the closed string direction, and the other one is in the open string direction. And these connection matrices can be brought for the full problem into upper triangular form, which would suggest that this would be the form that would translate to CFT, and from CFT to the A model. But what we're doing is working out the B model, bringing it to the form like the closed string, which would suggest that there is some conformal field theory interpretation, but we don't have this yet. So one thing that generalizes, for example, the Yukawa couplings, and so the Yukawa coupling in the closed string is just three times the derivative of the free potential, and this is an additional integrability condition for the closed string. So a priori, this is just a double derivative. And this double derivative feature is what extends to the open string. So we have some sorts of you have couplings for the open string sector, which are only double derivative, and there is no such thing as a pre-potential for the combined property. So, just to give you an idea, well, here's the upper triangular form. You can bring these, so the full problem, you can bring it to this form, such that you will have partial derivative minus this on the solutions will give you zero. So here's the Yukawa coupling part, and here's another part that deviates from the closed string. I mean, the closed string here, you would have just the identity matrix, and for the open string, you have some additional stuff. So this is just telling you the integrability conditions for open string are weaker, and this is just telling you that n equals 1 special geometry is somewhat weaker than n equals 2 special geometry. Well, here just, so we can derive using integrability conditions some expressions for this additional thing we didn't have. We don't have a physical interpretation for. And this is just, as the problem associated to the open string variation is a variation of Hodge structure on the surface. And for the case of the quintic, it turns out that it's variation of Hodge structure of a K3. But this is just a special case. Okay, so now just in words, what else is it we can do? So why is it powerful to have equations governing these data? Well, with the equations, you can just go everywhere in moduli space. You can just pick the phase of the theory you want to describe, and solve the equations there, do this procedure to get flat coordinate, superpotential, and so on. And so in particular, you can connect to our existing results. So you'll find patches in moduli space where there's already been work on open string medicine tree. So you can connect in particular patch to matrix factorizations. There is also what is called, so the analog of closed string with large radius point, where you can actually extract these integer invariants characterizing d-bits. So we have done this in the paper, and we have found a Bourdieu invariants for particular. You can also study the critical locus of superpotential, so where the variation with respect to the open string modulus vanishes. And this will lead you to on-shell superpotential quantities, which were calculated by Johannes Weichmann, Dave Morrison, and Johannes Weichmann. And from the equations we have, when we restrict to the critical locus, we actually get the inhomogeneous equations, which were found by Dave Morrison and Johannes Weichmann. There are several things I didn't talk about, which appear in the paper. So one thing, so far I've told you, we've only been working on the B-model side. So we've been working on the B-model side, brought it to a form which would suggest the mirror symmetry interpretation on the A-model side. But we haven't worked out what the A-model side is. So remember, for the closed string, this was described by quantum cohomology. And quantum cohomology was considering deformations of the wedge product. And we don't know yet what the corresponding problem would be for the case of open string. We have worked out some relations of the quantities we compute to conformal field theory, but also in conformal field theory, so the things we're computing were these derivative of superpotentials would give you the boundary and the boundary-boundary chirals, which are not worked out as well. But so what we have is some suggestions for what these things could be. There's furthermore, in this way of describing mirror symmetry for these debrians, there's a duality. And so just in keywords, the duality says that these debrians we're considering in Calabi-Yau threefolds, together with a Calabi-Yau threefold, is dual to a Calabi-Yau fourfold. But in the case of the fourfold, it's only closed string data. And there have been two other papers on this particular correspondence by Clement collaborators and by Mina Ganacek and Crispy. Okay, so here's the summary. I hope to have convinced you that mirror symmetry is not only a very powerful tool of doing computations, but you can also kind of track the structure and track how physical quantities vary over the moduli space. So you can both have conceptual things of tracking how things vary, and these this information will allow you to compute things. Okay, so I've proposed some extension of mirror symmetry and closed string techniques to describe some of the debrains also. But so we've done all the analysis on the beam of the cell. So, and all the structure are strong hints towards that the structure also extends in the A1 cell. Okay, so the outlook so far, we've only considered what in the closed string would be genus 0, so only tree level. But for the full topological string, we need the whole F, G, H, and there are still not no techniques to study meiosymmetry in this higher genus for the open string. Okay, so the way I presented closed string B model was in terms, so first in terms of holomorphic and non-holomorphic, and this should actually also generalize for the case of the closed string. And understanding this led for the closed string to understanding all the higher genus partition functions, so probably if also for the open string, this will lead to a similar understanding. Okay, and then eventually you want to describe more moduli, so both more closed string moduli with deep grains, or more deep grain moduli, or more deep grains with single moduli, and see what are the variational problems associated with this, and what are the kind of quantities you can. Okay, so thanks a lot for your attention.
And they're high dimensional. Mm-hmm. There's an anomaly due to tadpole non-cancellation. Mm-hmm. Is that somewhere in the topological side also?
Yeah, so the statement is in the topological side, at least for genus zero data, topological string doesn't care about tadpole cancellation. So there's been work by Johannes Weiss on how to consider also oriented fold planes, so especially for the compact cases, to be able to compute the higher genus stuff. But in our approach, we so the statement is for the superpotential, we don't need to consider what are the oriented fold chain contributions.
Thank you for that again.